So I'm with Jerron Blind Boy Paxton here at a Kitchen Garden Cafe in King's Heath in the lovely suburbs of Birmingham. And Jerron, you're poised in front of the piano in front of me. Mm-hmm. And there's some melodic tones already coming through. And I wanted to start really by talking about your style and your tradition, really. Because are you a blues man or a jazz man or somewhere in the middle?
I'm a musician. Blues man is something invented by a record company to sell records. The people they like to call blues men were all around musicians and played every kind of music known to man and that they were exposed to. I know people in the middle of the cotton fields sang songs in Polish, in Russian, in German, and so forth. That's what they were exposed to, that's what they did. I play both kinds of music, if that's all you want, that's what you want to limit yourself to. And I play some music that wasn't recorded and some music that was recorded a little too much, if that answers your question.
It does. So I guess what you're saying is it's much more about the mood or the feeling that's important rather than the kind of the category. Is that what you're saying? So don't give things labels, I guess. Is that the headline?
Well, you can give them all the labels you want, but they just got to be apt. I don't like being painted in the corner of a blues man, because I could play blues, as you hear right now, and I could play reels and schottisches and two-steps and mazurkas and Beethoven and all sorts of stuff I'd never play in public.
And you are, as you rightly said, you're a musician, but I think that's only kind of scratching the surface, because the amount of instruments you play, I think, is quite staggering. So you, I think, play guitar and banjo, and obviously you play piano. That's not me to the listeners playing along, just to be clear. But you play violin and fiddle and all kinds of different things.
This is true. That's very true.
So where did you start? Did you start with a banjo or guitar? Or
I started playing violin at the age of 12. Uh-huh. That was my beginning, playing note music, you know, just reading out the book and so forth.
Yeah.
Then I moved on and found things with a little more style.
And were you growing up in a musical household? Is that how you came to the violin? Or?
No. I came to it out of interest in physics, figuring out how the thing worked. It was before the internet, so if you wanted to know how something worked, you had to find it.
Wow, a time before the internet. I didn't know that existed.
It's so, all right.
So physics, that's it. Tell me more about that. So you kind of, about the sort of rhythms and patterns of things, is that how you what got your interest?
No, I wanted to figure out why when you drew a bow across a violin, it made a sound. That's about it. Only thing you can get out of it in my day was an encyclopedia that I'm paraphrasing, but it gave the description that you take this hairy stick and you rub it across this wooden box and all of a sudden you sound like Heifetz, which I thought was no doubt Bolshevism and Damasity.
Tell me about the storytelling as well, because that's an important part, I think, of your music, because, you know, it's storytelling in terms of certainly ragtime music and blues and jazz and sort of country music. Is a really important element of it. How did you go from sort of your physics experiment, if you like, with the violin to telling some of the kind of very real stories that you brought to us?
Well, it's necessary. If I didn't tell people what they were listening to, a lot of people here, and frankly, a lot of people who like this music that I play aren't from its culture. Hmm. This music is from my culture. And I don't see a lot of people from my culture in the audiences. So it takes a little bit of explaining for them to understand. So it's mostly out of necessity.
And you're originally, I think, from Los Angeles, the City of Angels. But you live, I think, in Queens at the moment. You live in New York.
That's it.
So, but there's a Louisiana link as well, I think. Is it your grandparents or your...
My family are Choctaw Indians from the Chafalaya River, so they spent 8,000 years right there.
How do you think your sound and your styles developed since when you're at 12-year-old and you picked up that violin? What sort of things have you taken on in that time?
Well, I picked up more instruments, for one. I can't communicate everything I'd like to with just the violin. Never could. So as soon as I found the banjo, I put the violin away, so it was a little bit easier to communicate to people with you. And after, you know, just gotta develop the repertoire, as one tends to do. Play the music you like, play them for the people that wants to hear them, and that's the idea.
Tell me, I think earlier on this year you played a tribute concert to Lead Belly at Carnegie Hall, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a bit more about that, because I'm intrigued. There were some big, including yourself, there were some big names there. There was Buddy Guy was there, Tom Petty, I think Eric Burdon and people like that were there. Tell me about that.
What you want me to tell you about it?
Well, how did that come about? How did you get involved in that tribute? Because, I mean, Lead Belly is one of the huge kind of figures of traditional American music, I think.
Well, Lead Belly grew up down the road from my grandmother on neighboring plantations, and seeing as I'm one of the few black people that played his music, I don't see why I shouldn't have been invited. And I don't think there's anybody who plays that kind of music just about anymore or really knows where it comes from.
There was part of a review I read that said about you that you were a true hope for the future of the blues, which I thought was a great thing to say. You obviously went down really well.
Indeed.
I guess there might be a bit of a burden with that as well, really, when thinking about it.
Well, tell me what you think.
It's kind of an expectation, I guess, isn't it? You kind of have to leap things into the future.
Well, it depends. Whether you are subject to the wishes of the masses, which I am not. I play my music for whomever I please, and they take it as such. I don't alter it, I don't change it, no more necessary for me to communicate my own ideas and my own musicianship, as well as culture and any other things I want to tag on to that title. So I don't have to, you know, make something new out of whole cloth. I have a culture and a upbringing and the peoples to represent, so I don't have to add any modern influences, which are very corrupted, especially nowadays. I can keep it original. I can keep it to the ideas I've always had.
I think that's what you're describing is an authenticity, isn't it, about what you do? You're very true to your legacy, to your heritage, if you like.
Well, it's good music. It's a good heritage. It's been unlucky, but it's good.
Let me just ask you finally, because I'm conscious as we're talking over the piano, I'm in danger of holding you from a steak. The steak hasn't quite arrived yet, but it's nearly here. Your new CD that you've got out, which is recorded music for your entertainment.
Yeah, my new 3-year-old CD. It was recorded mostly by my friend Frank Fairfield at the top floor of the... Excuse me, I take that back. It was recorded entirely by my friend Frank Fairfield. In the top floor of the Museum of Jurassic Technology in Los Angeles. And I asked for Frank's help with it because I told him, I'm not so good at figuring out what goes on a record. Just put something on there that sounds good. And he selected the songs. I recorded about 30 or 40 songs that night, and he picked the 10 or 12 best and put out the record. It was my first decent, reasonable record. Now that I've got something to compare it to, I could see the things I need to add and subtract and alter and so forth for my next record.
It's a nice record. I've listened to it a couple of times. It has a nice feel to it. I think you can listen to it through your website, can't you? If people are interested in exploring it a little more, I think if you go to your website, if you just Google Blind Boy Paxton, you will find your web presence, which tells us not only everything about you, but gives us little snippets of your music.
Good.
I'd advise people to check that out. So I'm conscious that your steak's imminent. It's banging at the door. I think it's that fresh.
It's still moving.
I think it is. It's a pleasure to have had a chat with you, and enjoy the gig. And really great to meet you. And perhaps you could play us out with some something a little ragtime, maybe.
This piano can't handle ragtime. Thank you.
people sleeping on chips and straw. Now thank God our master did. We just crazy about his family. Yes, we love it. Yes, we do. Yes, we love it. Yes, we do. And we can tell you, I'm a mama's darling boy.
Jerron Blind Boy Paxton was talking to me, James Sandy, and this podcast was a King of the Buns production for the Kitchen Garden Cafe.